You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. I have talked to thousands of interesting, fascinating people and often wish I could get some of them around a dinner table. So we're doing a few of my dream dinner conversations this week, and two very special dinner guests are here with me now. The first is a 2015 Kresge Artist Fellow, a former attorney, a Pulitzer Prize-nominated journalist, a poet, filmmaker, community activist. I loved her beautiful collection of flash fiction, Know the Mother. Desiree Cooper, welcome to my dinner party.
Thank you. I'm full already, full of sadness that you're leaving us.
Oh, thank you.
This can't be happening.
Oh, thank you, thank you. And also here at the party, poet, writer, teacher, wonderful guy, Keith Taylor. We've had him on Stateside through the years offering seasonal book picks, and my favorite moments have been you reading excerpts to us. Now, Keith is retired from the University of Michigan, where he taught creative writing, and you both have such powerful voices in your writing, so thank you for being here today.
Thanks for asking us. It's an honor to be here on your way out.
Oh, thank you. Desiree, I'm interested because you've both followed fascinating paths to where you are now in your writing careers. When did the writing bug bite you, Desiree?
I mean, I've never wanted to be anything but a writer. As soon as I could, well, I guess before I could read for myself, but having stories read to me, books have been endless sources of fascination. I read so much that was my parents decided to pay me, so that was my summer job. I got paid by the book.
So you earned a nice salary reading.
Oh, I broke them. But it's just people now, when I go out to speak, you know, people say like, well, what are you reading? What's your most influential book? And I can't come up with that impressive answer. It is Charlotte's Web. You know,
oh, wow.
It is Charlotte's Web. It is the book that just took me out of myself and into a different world, into imagination, was so precious. I cried and cried and cried when Charlotte died. The emotion, the empathy, that was just profound. And I'm not sure any other book has measured up since.
Boy, I was much the same. Charlotte's Web did it for me. And then yeah. I used to go to the Ferndale Library, and they had the summer reading game. Run to the library on my bike and get books at a time. For me, it was Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Yeah.
For my wife, absolutely.
Your wife as well, Keith?
Yes, absolutely. City girl, so reading all that stuff about the prairie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. And you, Keith, what about
you? Well, I knew you were going to ask me since you were just desk Desiree. I have to say, and it's tough for me to admit this since I'm not a very actively religious person now, but my father was a minister in a very conservative denomination, and we had no money out there in the Canadian prairie. And one of the things that, you know, the book that was always part of our daily life was the Bible in the King James translation. And to go to summer camp, I could go free if I memorized 300 verses. So between the ages of 5 and 12, every summer, I memorized 300 verses of the Bible.
Wow.
And that language has shaped me. I wish it were more fun. I wish my story were more fun, but I know it was the Bible in the King James translation.
Well, but it could hardly be more beautiful. I mean, the lyricism of the Bible, the Psalms, you know,
Some of the stories, especially the Old Testament stories, they're fabulous.
I use the language for titles, and I used to tell my students when I taught, when they said, I can't find a title, and I said, well, go look in the Bible. The Bible or Shakespeare, that's the great place for titles.
You know what, Keith, you just reminded me of something. You know how people are now, it's sort of like you go into a room and you have to express what your pronouns are?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And somebody said that mine are thee, thou, thine.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I love that.
I do, too.
Like, why didn't I think of that?
Right. We could all be Quakers. You know, my father, when he did get an actual BA, it was in Greek. So he could read the Bible in the original. And after I got pretty good at a couple of Romance languages, I asked him once whether he thought the thee and thou that he would use in his prayers, if he thought that was an act of honor or an act of intimacy. And he said he said, even though he knew the structures of language, he said it was an act of honor. And I said, no, it's intimacy. That's the second person singular, like tu in French. And you know, that's the old vestige of that in English. And it's like, wow.
Okay, so translating for normal people, what you're saying is that's more like the familiar address
that is
not formal address.
Exactly. That's what you say to your children, your parents, your lovers, your best friends.
And now you got that now. Thee and thou, Desiree, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I know, Des, you were an attorney, and my daughter is going through law school now, and I've watched her, you know, learning this new way of writing and legal thinking. And my goodness, that's so tremendously different from the kind of creative writing you did, you know, like for, let's say, Know the Mother. How do you reconcile that?
I went through a recovery program.
Recovering attorney. And you stopped practicing law, didn't you, after you had your first child?
I did. Okay. I practiced for about 5 years, and I think it's telling that I left the practice of law. I did not go to a different law firm or do something different in law. Like, I completely walked away from it. And I just woke up one day and said, what's a good girl like me doing in a place like this? I just couldn't. And the lack of, for me, it really was a straitjacket. There was just such little creativity. And I am not kidding. I really did have to unlearn the violence they did to the English language for law school.
Keith, your path, I was unaware until I went kind of digging around and found, you've got to walk us through the kinds of jobs that you held as you, you know, got off, you started in British Columbia, and you said you grew up on the prairie. Walk us through the myriad list of jobs you've held.
Yeah, I keep that long list on there because these days everybody's biographies sound the same.
Yours does not. You
know, right. I went to school. I won these awards. Yeah. I have this job. Because I came from no money and because I wanted to do something different, there was no way all that was going to happen unless I paid for it myself. So I worked as a house painter. When I went to Europe, I was working illegally. It's easier now for young North Americans to work in Europe than it was then. I washed dishes in a restaurant for 80 cents an hour. In southern France, yes. Painted houses in Ireland. I was a school assistant at a summer school at Cambridge. So, I mean, that was a hoity-toity job. Mm-hmm. Didn't pay very much money. Came back to the States, did all kinds of things again as a house painter. Sort of the last big job I had when my mother, other than, you know, professional job, when my mother was ill in the early 80s, I went to California to be with her until she passed. And I was the night manager of a pinball arcade in Southern California. So I liked to have all these jobs. And then I was a bookseller in Ann Arbor for 20 years before the university hired me. These helped me connect with people. As a writer, this is great stuff. I had a great time.
If you just join me, I am here having a wonderful dinner party style conversation with two magnificent writers, Keith Taylor and Desiree Cooper. And Desiree, Keith just mentioned going to California to care for his mother. And I know right now you're going through the experience of being there for aging parents. And your mother has Alzheimer's, because I know you shared on social media a moment when your mother looked at you and asked you, who is your mother? Yeah. What did that moment feel like?
Oh, like that's just a kick in the gut on a couple levels. First of all, that never stops being your mommy, and you're never not the daughter, the little girl. Mm-hmm. So to have your mother not recognize you as her child is awful. But here's the thing that got me most is that my mother's pride and joy, her aspiration, her vocation was motherhood. And she gave that 1,000%. So for her to look at a person that she gave birth to and raised and gave her all to and not recognize that person as the fruit of her, you know, literal labor, and not recognize herself as the mother of that child was, whoa. I mean, she had not only forgotten me, she'd forgotten herself.
Yeah.
And I almost just lost it. I mean, I've been at this now, and actually, Cindy, both of my parents have Alzheimer's.
Oh, boy.
And so I moved in with them about 3.5 years ago. I left Detroit 30 years and moved in with them in the Virginia Beach area. And so it has been, you know, now I'm a little bit more hard-boiled, and the surprises keep coming. I guess I might just be a little bit more able to roll with what life is bringing now. That has been, I am a very type A person, and that has been slapped out of me in the last 3 years. There, you cannot be goal-oriented, task-oriented, what's going to happen, what's going to get done, and take care of two seniors with Alzheimer's at the same time. That's, wow. You can't, you have got to be a lot more zen about life.
I think that actually, I love that phrase, Desiree, that you got the type A slapped out of you, because I think there's a lot of us that could use some of that type A getting slapped out of us a little bit. What do you think, Keith?
Well, you know, I've never been very type A, so I don't know. I could use a little more of it slapped into me, but it's probably too late now. But Des, I just want to say, I mean, it's I assume your mother was with us in mentally long enough to realize your success and how successful she was as a mother, because clearly her commitment to mothering worked. So,
and now that's so sweet.
And now you're mothering her.
And now I'm mothering her. And she actually, you know, she did not sort of stay aware enough to see me publish my first book. That's not really, she supported me as a writer all along. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, here I am now. It's like a completely different journey, as you are, Cindy, about to embark upon.
I am excited.
What's that going to look like for you?
It's going to look like we have a little cottage in Ireland, because I was lucky enough to marry a man from Cork City 43 years ago. And we bought that cottage 22 years ago to be able to make his mom and dad feel better when we would leave, because it was heart-wrenching. If you're busy falling in love with somebody from across the pond, you're not thinking about the fact that no matter where you live, somebody's heart's going to be broken because you're living across the ocean.
Right.
So when we bought that little cottage not too far from Cork City, it seemed to help his mom and dad with kind of the goodbyes.
Great.
Now they're both gone, but we've had this for 22 years. And for 22 years, I go over there in this piece of heaven overlooking the ocean, and I feel myself there, the most myself when I'm in that spot. But it's like 2 weeks, bing, down, back on the plane.
Yeah.
And the night before I leave, I would sit on the fence post, because we're lucky enough to be in the country. So to the south, you have a vista of ocean. And then to the north, you have the valleys and the fields that lead up to the mountains between Cork and Kerry. And on a beautiful sunset evening, if the sun is setting, I would sit on that porch the last night before we're leaving and cry, because I don't know when I'll be back. So part of the plan is, God willing, as long as the health holds out, because that's another lesson you learn as the years go on. Yeah. And if you can wake up healthy and go to sleep without some awful phone call from a doctor, it's a good thing. So healthy, got this place. So I've already booked a 7-week stay in the spring.
Wonderful.
By myself.
Good. Great. By yourself?
By myself. Because my husband's going to keep working for a while. I'm not ready, but I said, I am. So I'm like, you can come visit me if you want or not. Listen, one of the things I have loved in these years of stateside is when writers read to us. Whenever anybody who has poured their heart and soul into words opens up that book and reads to us, it feels like I'm being wrapped in a blankie, probably because my father read to me when I was tiny and I'd sit on his lap. I've got pictures when I was 1 year old, read to me constantly. So I would love, Desiree, would you read something to us?
Yeah, so this is a piece of flash fiction that you will recognize as coming right out of my experience now, but I'm dedicating it to you, Cindy.
Oh, thank you.
And it's called Waste Not. My parents are old and inert. Their bodies want only to be still. There's not much we can do for entertainment except sit here, and then for a change of scenery, sit there. When the weather is nice, and sometimes even when the rain is warm and gentle, I lift up the garage door and arrange the cushioned lawn chairs so that they can sit just inside the lip and watch the neighbors come and go. Sometimes we sip Cokes, sometimes we snack. Sometimes we have music, a little Motown or Boots Randolph to help us mark the time. But mostly we sit for hours and say nothing, or else listen to the rolling tide of my father's repetitious questions. I remember all those years when time was my enemy, invisible and cruel like gravity. It would barrel forward so furiously I had no idea where it went. As soon as I'd awaken, it would already feel blown. It passed in a gust of overwhelm. It had breath but no weight. It had seasons but no flavor. My parents and I are closer to the end of our lives than to the beginning. If anyone, we should know better than to throw away our uncertain measure that we have left. We should be scurrying and feathering, scrimping and stretching, but we aren't. Time now stretches languid in the humid afternoon, shimmering just above the hot asphalt. It tastes like caramel cake. It smells like pine needles in the rain. It looks like every second a different thing, as light goes a little higher, then lower, white, then yellow, then crimson, then indigo. We have learned something. Our days cannot be hoarded, only spent. And in these last luxurious hours, we are rich. We spend as much time as we want.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Desiree. That was just gorgeous. And in fact, I would love, is that in your book?
That is brand new.
Brand
new.
I
will send you a copy. I want you to take it with you to Ireland.
I will.
You have that 7 weeks.
Please do. Keith?
When I knew I was coming here and I knew you'd ask me to read something, I do have new work, but I thought I would read an Irish poem. So I have two Irish poems with me. I think the one in the book right now is the one that's seeming most appropriate to me because, you know, you, Cindy, Ireland, all of those things. So this is a Seamus Heaney poem from a book of his called The Spirit Level. Back in the days, Heaney died, a decade or so ago, maybe more now. This is the west of Ireland. It's not County Cork, but it is that sense of the wind constantly blowing out there along the ocean side in Ireland, and it gets it better than most things. I think the poem is called Postscript. And sometime make the time to drive out west into County Clare along the flaggy shore in September or October when the wind and the light are working off each other so that the ocean on one side is wild with foam and glitter and inland among stones the surface of a slate-gray lake is lit by the earthed lightning of a flock of swans, their feathers ruffed and ruffling, white on white, their fully grown, headstrong-looking heads tucked or cresting or busy underwater. Useless to think you'll park and capture it more thoroughly. You are neither here nor there, a hurry through which known and strange things pass, as big, soft buffetings come at the car sideways and catch the heart off guard and blow it open.
Well, my, beautiful. Keith Taylor and Desiree Cooper, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.
And thank you for your service to this community.
Absolutely.
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.